Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Welcome back to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Lately, Greenwich Village has seemed to have more in common with Greenwich, Connecticut than its history as a bohemian enclave. Maybe that's because of the fancy apartments and high store rents have pushed out mom-and-pop shops and ushered in chain stores and glass condos. Still, there is something really special about the village, and it continues to be home to some of the city's most iconic spots. One new documentary takes a close look at one such gem, Carmine Street Guitars, which is right around the corner from our studio. Directed by Canadian filmmaker Ron Mann, the film follows Rick Kelly, who has been making guitars for decades for the likes of rock and roll greats, Patti Smith, Bob Dylan, Lou Reed. And during the course of the film, great guitar players stop by the store. They talk shop with Rick, and sometimes they play. For example, Kirk Douglas from The Roots.
Whose signature is that?
That's Jeff Beck.
Oh my God. He's one of my old-time idol guitar players.
Yeah, I guess when he was in the yard.
You got to see this. That's so cool.
Yeah, I got to hold his hands. I mean, I was concerned that he may not want to give it back. Can I turn it up a little more?
Yeah.
And I just love how when you're able to, it's like a faucet, just like you have.
Yeah.
Rick's guitar is remarkable not only because they're made by hand, but also because he sources his wood from old buildings around the city. Variety called him the Geppetto of rock and roll. It's a pretty good title. The film, simply named Carmine Street Guitars, opens this Wednesday at Film Forum, and it currently has a 94% rating at Rotten Tomatoes, so I'd say you might want to get your tickets early. In studio, we have the film's director, Ron Mann. Hi, Ron.
Hi.
And its main subject, guitar maker, and our neighbor, Rick Kelly. Hi, Rick.
How you doing?
Ron, how did you first hear about Rick?
I heard about Rick through Jim Jarmusch, the film director, but also musician of the band called Squirrel with Carter Logan. I was at a festival in Knoxville, Tennessee called Big Ears, and a lot of players had Rick Kelly guitars. So I asked, including Jim, who's Rick Kelly? And that led me to Carmine Street Guitars.
It's a good question. You're a documentary filmmaker. You asked the who question.
Right.
So what did you think when Ron first approached you, Rick, about telling this story?
Oh, I just was very impressed that that would even happen. I wouldn't in a million years ever thought they would want to make a movie about me. And even during it, I kept telling my friends, why would anybody go see a movie about me?
Why would someone go see a movie about Rick, Ron?
Well, Rick is a special guy and is Cindy Hulich, his apprentice, and his mom, who's 93 years old, Dorothy Kelly, who is still cleaning and doing the
books yeah,
and there the books. Every day. It's about community. I think Mark Rebo really articulates what the film is about. It's a wonderful hang with musicians who just come in, but Rick is a visionary. I mean, he's one of the first to understand how wood makes a difference in electric guitars, for one. But also, it's about the changing neighborhood, as you described. And on Carmine Street, there were seven guitar makers. Mm-hmm. Rick's the last man standing. It's not so much about gentrification, because I actually think gentrification is, you can go back to the 20s and talk about Walt Whitman, or you can talk about Jack Kerouac and Allen Ginsberg, and you can talk about Jimi Hendrix living in this neighborhood. Things change. Mm-hmm. But there's something that's kind of wrong, and I think, when the rents are so high that it's impossible to, I mean, it just eviscerates the neighborhood. And when Mark Rebo says it's about a community, you know, we're also talking about Jane Jacobs as well, you know, and, you know, who was here. And I think ultimately as we move forward, we are moving forward, but it's also as we look what are we leaving behind?
And I think that's what resonates. And who should we be bringing with us as things move forward?
Yeah.
Who gets to come along?
You know, and Rick also sort of brings, I mean, what he does for me by using historical buildings like the Chelsea Hotel or Chumley's, or we were talking about City Winery across the street, you know, that's moving. It's about bringing, like, that wood is alive, and it somehow carries forward through the musical songs that are of the players who play his guitars.
So, Rick, nuts and bolts, how do you go out and you find wood from certain landmarks and different buildings? Mm-hmm. How does that work? Do you find out the building has wood available? Do you go and leave your card and say, hey, if you're ever going to tear something down, give me a ring? How does that work?
Well, I don't have a car, but I do cycle around the city a lot. And anytime I see a dumpster, I'm always checking. And I do a lot of dumpster diving. That's one thing. But a lot of people now know what I do, and so they'll tip me off and say, oh, they are on Gomrine Street or on this street or that street, there's a pile of wood, you should go check it out. And that's how I usually get it.
What are you looking for in the wood?
Well, this wood is really recognizable. It has a certain patina to it, and it's always a similar dimension. It's always about 2 inches thick and about 8 inches wide. And there are roof rafters and floor joists and from these old 1800s buildings. And I know the wood because the wood came out of virgin forest that the city was built out of, all the way up into the Adirondacks, these gigantic Pinus strobus white pine trees. Pretty much is what the whole city is framed out with. I call it the bones of old New York because it's the bones of these old buildings.
And go ahead.
Oh, no, it's just lovely. Today's Earth Day, and there's a certain kind of repurposing of that wood, too, so it's kind of resonant in that way.
The whole upcycling nature of it. So then in the film, we get to see you go to McSorley's.
Yeah.
Was it really important to you to get wood from McSorley's?
Yeah, in fact, you know, there was an article that the New York Times wrote about that. You know, they asked me, what building would you love to get wood from? And I said, I'd love to go to get wood from McSorley's because I go there every Sunday after my bike ride. And so the guys that worked, the bartenders at McSorley's, heard that or read that, and they actually saved me wood. So I got to build a couple of guitars from McSorley's wood.
That's so exciting. Yeah. I'm happy for you that you got to do
that. I know.
That.
This is the best part of it is people will give you wood from these, you know, the Chelsea Hotel. There was a pile of wood coming out of the basement one day, and I just happened to know the guy who lived upstairs next door. And he saw it on his way to work that morning, and him and his wife built some furniture. And so they snagged a whole bunch of boards, and that's how I get wood from there.
My guests are Ron Mann and Rick Kelly. We're talking about the documentary Carmine Street Guitars. So, Ron, as you're figuring out, I want to make this documentary about Rick and about the shop and about the community. How did you decide on this particular format, this sort of like we're going to fly on the wall for a week and see what happens?
Jim Jarmusch made a movie called Patterson, which really moved me. It's about 5 days in the life of a poet. And so I always liked that format, but also like the experience, which is translate the experience of to an audience of what is it like to hang out at Carmine Street Guitars, which Jim actually evoke the idea that it's like a post office at the turn of the century where people would just come in and just leave messages.
Yeah, and books tell this guy, you know, I've been here and I want to see him. And
so you're sort of the nexus for all these musicians.
Yes, I know. They're always leaving stuff, and I'm okay with it. You know, if I see somebody come in that they want to communicate with, I'll keep some paper or books or whatever they're leaving by. So it is like a post office in a lot of ways.
How long did this take to film?
It's the impression of a week, so it took a bit longer.
Of course,
we didn't know who was going to show up. We didn't know that Kirk Douglas was going to be there.
Yeah. A lot of people it just happened.
Mm-hmm. And that's what's so lovely about it. And that's what does happen. If you went to Carmine Street Guitars, which is right around the corner from Film Forum, it is a magical. This really a place that's out of time.
We share with some of our listeners some of the guitar players who stroll through this film.
Well, there's Bill Frisell, who does a wonderful rendition of Brian Wilson's Surfer Girl. And there are many highlights. Charlie Sexton, who plays the McSorley guitar.
Mark Rebo.
These are spoiler alerts.
Yeah. wait. You don't come all the way. Charlie Sexton surprised me, though. I sort of remember him as sort of like the scarecrow-y teenager with the big black pompadour and the hair. And, and now he's kind of got like some Texas patina on him because he's years old.
And he's on the never-ending tour with Bob Dylan. You know, their schedule's... you know, there's a lot of musicians that Mark Rebo, Alan Freeberg, Jamie Hintz from The Kills. Yeah. I mean, the Sadies.
Sadies were awesome, getting to meet those guys and having them come in and play the guitars. And they do the soundtrack for the movie.
Rick, when guitar players talk to you about what they want in a guitar, what is it that they want?
Well, usually these guitars that I'm doing now, made from this old wood, they've kind of either heard them already. That's kind of a good example would be like Lou Reed. He had already been playing my guitars from all the way back in the 70s into the 80s. But then when his guitar tech got one of my guitars, the new ones, the Barry ones, he had to have that, you know, and they just sound so different. This wood really resonates and it has a very warm tone. And I make the necks out of the same wood I make the bodies out of, which is hardly ever done. I don't know of anybody doing that. And it does give them a really unique sound that's quite different. So I think that has a lot to do with it as well.
One thing about Stuart Herwood, which is Lou's guitar tech, he's a genius.
Awesome scene.
But he has this vision of these guitars. He didn't want them to be sold. Mm-hmm. He didn't want them in a vault. And what he does is he creates a drone installation from Lou's guitars. And so, with Laurie Anderson. Anderson. And it creates this wonderful, almost spiritual sort of experience. And it's transformative in the sense that as music can be transformative.
Yeah, he just did one at St. John the Divine, which was just amazing because of the acoustics in there. It's so great.
How did you learn to make guitars out of this wood? What was your inspiration for that?
When I was in college, I went to art school and I majored in sculpture and I was working with wood. Even in high school, you know, I've been just celebrated 50 years of guitar making. And it's just the wood was always something I needed to get cheap because I don't have any money and I didn't then either. So to help pay my way through college, I started making Appalachian dulcimers. And I would make them from almost anything, you know, that I could get tables, chairs, old church pews. I remember getting a bunch of church pews, and they were beautiful wood that they were made of. And so it's always been an idea of reclaimed was always something I did more out of desperation than environmentally. But now it's more about environmentally than that. I don't want to go to a lumber yard and get wood when the most precious, the best wood is the old wood that, you know, was cut down from these beautiful old virgin forests that covered this whole area.
My guests are guitar maker Rick Kelly and filmmaker Ron Mann. We're talking about the documentary Carmine Street Guitars. Is there one place in the city, Rick, that you've wanted to get wood from that's been elusive, that's your great white whale?
Well, yeah, the it's John Varvatos now. What
CBGBs?
It? CBGBs, yeah. I always wanted to get wood from there. And I did have, Lenny Kay was working on it for me, and a couple of other people that work there are still working on it. There's, what you got to do is go in the basement or up on the roof and grab me a beam, and I'll be fine with that.
The call has been put out. Do it legally, though, people, not illegally. Yeah, yeah.
Isn't it? Didn't they ship it all to Las Vegas?
They did. Actually, they left one wall where it's beautiful. He left one wall that has all the graffiti.
Oh, really?
On it.
Oh,
but they reproduced CBGBs in Las Vegas, so most of it's gone.
Just heavy sigh.
I know.
To kind of circle back to what we were talking about in the beginning, there's this moment in the film that is just so funny, and I really want to know what was you going through your head. The talk about gentrification, the building next door goes up for sale. And a young guy, just trying to make his way in the real estate business, comes in to chat with you. There aren't any fireworks. There aren't any bad words. But you don't really have a lot of time for him. Let's put it that way.
Mm. That was totally real, too. And that actually happened. And it wasn't really staged at all. That guy did come in. And he was eyeballing the place. And what square footage is it? And I'm going, I don't know. I have no idea what square footage is. What do you want to know that for? But I gave him the cold shoulder, and he got the hint.
Yeah, he sort of was looking around like you were chumming the water. And
yeah,
he was sort
yeah.
of circling, the shark circling.
That happens very often, too. It's not just one real estate. That happens a lot. They're always trying to buy that building.
Do you feel confident that you're going to be there for a good long time?
Well, I sure hope so. I mean, my landlady lives upstairs. Mm-hmm. She's been in the generations before her, five generations, I think, owned that building, same family. So she wants to pass the building on to her daughter. And, you know, I'm set, I think.
You come with the building.
I come with the building.
She saw the film at the New York Film Festival, and she rushed up to Rick and said, "You're not going anywhere."
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, oh, that's a great sign.
Yeah.
We've got a few minutes left, a few seconds left, actually. But what did you learn about Carmine Street Guitars, Ron, that you didn't know going in?
Everything that I experienced was new and a surprise.
That's awesome.
And I really loved the the way Rick allowed it just happens, and he is. I'll give you one clear example.
You're a director. I have to wrap.
Oh,
I know I can say that to you. The film Carmine Street Guitars opens at Film Forum on Wednesday. Ron and Rick, thanks for being here.
You're very
welcome.
Thanks a lot.
This is all of it.